And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Nothing, man. I'm on a hotter seat than damn Gus Malzahn because I still ain't got my air conditioning fixed.
And the cold front's left.
But before we get into all that, we wanted to jump into something here. You know, this is usually something that goes on our Monday podcast, but like we noted on yesterday's show, there was two opening lines that had not come out, so we thought we'd just hold this off a day. It didn't really make sense to talk about six games and two of them don't have opening lines. So let's just jump into this, Shane. This is our weekly segment where we try to guess the opening lines. So what this is, for new listeners out there, I'll, you know, provide you the spread I thought for each game. Shane will do for his picks, and then we reveal the opening lines. You ready to do it, Shane?
Let's do it.
Okay, starting with Auburn at Ole Miss, what did you think the opening line would be here, Shane?
This one, I kind of went back and forth, but I got Auburn still a favorite by 3 points.
Mm-hmm. Okay, pretty close to me. I had Auburn as a 4-point favorite, and we actually tie on this one because Auburn opens as a 3.5-point favorite at Ole Miss. Why did you think Auburn would be a favorite, and does that 3.5 line, does that surprise you at all?
Man, it's just, I mean, if you had asked me 2 weeks ago, I'd have said, hell yes, it surprises me. But, you know, they're on a slide, man, and they gotta get a bounce-back game. And Ole Miss is sneaky good, and they got a lot of weapons, even though they're down one. I think that, Auburn had a tough time controlling Jarrett Garantano. I mean, what was he going to do with Jordan Cousintown, you know?
Right, and this is just another one of my classics here where the home team kind of getting disrespected, picking up points. Now, obviously, I'm not ready to reveal my pick for that game yet. We've still got some time. Still want to study the tape a little bit. But, you know, I always tend to favor these home SEC teams, particularly if you're going to give them points. So, you know, if Ole Miss continues to catch 3.5 here, I definitely recommend leaning towards the Rebels early in the week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Shane, let's jump to Memphis. They're visiting Missouri. So Memphis at Missouri. What did you think the opening line would be?
I thought on this one, Missouri, I thought looked pretty good last week. I think they'll get Hall back this week. So I thought Missouri would be a 13-point favorite in this game.
Yeah, me too. That's exactly what I had. I'm starting to think you're cheating here, Shane. But we were both way off because the opening line is Missouri -7, so only by a touchdown. How surprising is that?
That's pretty surprising because Missouri's hung in all these games. That one kind of shocks me there. No respect for the home field advantage there in Missouri.
Yeah, Missouri, I mean, I thought they played Alabama about as well as can be expected. You know, they got hit with the first, what was it, 13 seconds into the damn game. Alabama scored a touchdown, but
yeah,
they seem to be doing that against everybody, so it's almost like you got to throw out what happens there. They didn't intercept Tua, but they forced a fumble. I think that was his first turnover of the game. And I don't know. This one is surprising. I think Memphis had a real good showing. They nearly knocked off UCF last week. So I think that's helping here. And I wouldn't even be surprised if Mike Norvell, the Memphis coach there, he may be a little bit better coach than Barry Odom. So maybe that factored into this 7-point spread here.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised he's still in Memphis. There's a lot of SEC teams looking at him last year, Tennessee included.
Well, Shane, between you, me, and the listeners, from what I understand, he's a bit of a gambler, and they don't.
Let's get him on, Mike.
After his scandal, I'm sure we'll get him. Okay, Shane, let's go this game. Vanderbilt at Kentucky. What did you think the line would be here?
Well, it's been a couple weeks since I've seen Kentucky, and Vanderbilt dropped yet another one to the Florida Gators, but I thought they played them tough. But I'm still convinced that Kentucky's legit. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for this thing. So I thought maybe they'd give them more in the favor of 12.5-point favorite.
And I thought Kentucky would be a 13-point favorite. And I got it dead on. It's Kentucky minus 13 at opening. What makes you think this is nearly a 2-touchdown spread here in favor of the Wildcats?
Just like I said, the fact that they had 2 weeks to prepare for this thing, get this thing right, because they were close to still being undefeated, you know, going into this week. If they would have made a couple of changes, and I think that's what they're thinking as far as Vegas is, like, you know, they had a couple of weeks to right this ship.
Yeah, and I think the concern here for Kentucky's got to be, you know, how are they going to respond to losing their first game? They've had 2 weeks to think about it, 2 weeks to prepare. Do they keep that edge? Do they keep that anger? And this is not a team, I don't think, in Vanderbilt that's really necessarily going to motivate them to get up for it. So how do they come out? Kentucky's typically not a team you think of that's going to jump on an opponent here. So that 13 points, I think this could be a close game just based on a lot of those factors. So maybe Kentucky, maybe even looking ahead to Missouri and Georgia and Tennessee in the upcoming weeks.
Well, think about it, too. Kentucky's kind of in a great situation. They dropped one, yes, but now they've had a couple weeks to think about it. It's at home at night against Vanderbilt. I mean, if you are going to lose a game, the scenario is perfect for Kentucky for rebounding, you know? Mm-hmm. It just feels like that.
Okay, Shane, the last non-conference game here on week 8, Tulsa at Arkansas, and this is back in Fayetteville, so they get a home game when they're supposed to. Unlike last week. Shane, who did you have favored in this one?
Well, for their, second home game of the season, I've got Arkansas favored by 16 points.
Yeah, and I had Arkansas by 8, so I had about half of what you had, but we were both dead wrong. This line shocked me when it came out. Arkansas, 3.5-point favorite over 1-5 Tulsa. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I'm going to put my $100 on Arkansas this week. I think people are reading too much into Tulsa's schedule. You know, they did play Texas close, but that was at the beginning of the season. I guarantee if they face off today, Texas would just demolish them. And maybe the South Florida game, you know, again, a top 25 team that they played close, only lost to a point. Mm-hmm. And I think that was just a couple days ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, last weekend.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think that's what they're reading into, more of the box score. But I just think Arkansas's just, I don't know. I think they're getting better, man. I just think they got a shot with this one.
Well, Shane, I would caution you to reserve that bet. Hopefully you didn't make it at this point until we find out the status of Ty's story. You know, the Arkansas quarterback was knocked out against – Ole Miss, and he didn't finish the game. The team kind of caved. We'll get into this here later in the show, but Chad Moore said a freshman could be playing, so there's a chance Arkansas is rolling out a true freshman against a Tulsa team that may well beat him at home.
Well, there may be a chance I don't put a bet on this one then.
All right, Shane, next game on the docket. This is the big SEC night game, Mississippi State at LSU. What did you have for a line for this one?
This one here, I've got LSU favored by 9.5 points.
Okay, and I thought LSU would be a 7-point favorite, and I was pretty close. It was LSU opened as a 6.5-point favorite. So why are you almost giving this a double-digit advantage here for LSU?
Just because, man, LSU's humming. Mm-hmm. They just beat the number 2 ranked team in the nation and did it. I mean, in dominating form. So I just think at home, at night, and then you got Mississippi State coming in, which, yeah, they got to, you know, they're hanging their hat on a signature win against Auburn, but you just saw last week, maybe Auburn's not as good as we thought. So I think that that this one here, I don't know. I just think LSU matches up too well with Mississippi State.
Are you at all concerned that LSU's coming off 8 consecutive games and Mississippi State's just coming off a bye? Do you think that plays a factor at all here?
No. In fact, I think it would go the opposite. I think these guys are more game ready.
Okay. Final game here on the docket, Shane, Alabama at Tennessee. What did you have your spread prediction here?
Oh, this one hurts, man. And I tell you, it's just – I don't mind – saying Tennessee's not the favorite. Okay, I mean, I'm a homer, but it's going to be nice when I'm not doing it by double digits. And this one here, I got Alabama favorite to win 27, plus 27 on this one.
Yeah, and you got me here, Shane. I thought the line would be 26. That's kind of a weird number I came up with there, but I thought it would be less than 4 touchdowns. It's slightly over. It's Alabama 28.5 at debut. What do you think of that line?
Wait, what was it again?
Alabama's favored by 28.5.
28.5. I mean, that's right where we were at. Only reason I put 27 is because I don't think they factored in their place kicker just yet. So
that's the same line there last week for Missouri at Alabama. So it's kind of interesting that it seems like these bookmakers are right at that 28.5 line.
Yeah, I mean, let me ask you this. We've been doing this for several weeks now. Is this the lowest spread that Alabama's had so far, or was Louisville closer?
I think A&M was 24.
Okay. I knew it was getting kind of close. It's not 40.
This LSU game coming up is probably going to be 14. I think this is a little bit more. This is respect for Tennessee after that big Auburn win, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. And a little home field. I mean, say what you want. Neyland's still a pumped-up stadium, and they traveled well to Auburn, and I think that's still going to be a factor for this 3:30 game at CBS.
And we got to keep an eye on Tua's status, because if he doesn't play, still I would heavily favor Alabama to win it, but I don't know if he can beat Tennessee by 28 based on the improved Tennessee team we're seeing now.
Yeah, I'm hoping they just let him get some rest, you know, little baby Tua.
All right, Shane, so that was obviously the week 8 lines. That's the week we're in, but this is also something that we do for every Tuesday show. We look ahead to week 9, and the reason we do that is because on Monday morning, the SEC always announces the kickoff times and television coverage for the week, basically 2 weekends ahead. So keep in mind, this is obviously not the games this weekend, but the following weekend for week 9, and I'm going to run down the schedule just based on the kickoff times here. So Vanderbilt at Arkansas, that's going to be the noon game on SEC Network. And also keep in mind, these are Eastern times I'm listening here. Florida versus Georgia in Jacksonville, as always. That's going to be the 3:30 game on CBS. That was actually announced during the preseason.
That's a good one.
Kentucky at Missouri, that's going to be the 4 o'clock game on SEC Network. Texas A&M at Mississippi State, the 7 o'clock game on ESPN. Mm-hmm. And finally, Tennessee at South Carolina on 7:30 on the SEC Network. Thoughts on that schedule, Shane?
Ooh, I like it. I think for once they got this thing right. I think that's the exact order it should be, in my opinion. That's some good games, man. That is some good games right there.
Yeah, the East could be decided there, Florida, Georgia. I mean, mm-hmm. No disrespect, that Georgia at Kentucky, that could also be the one that determines it if Georgia wins this game in Jacksonville. So, you know, the Georgia's just started this gauntlet here, and they struck out the first time. So, bunch of good games here. Kentucky at Missouri, I think that's a sneaky game there, because obviously Kentucky, you gotta be a little afraid that they're looking ahead to that Georgia game. That's got huge implications. A&M at Mississippi State. A&M will be coming off a bye, and who knows what will happen. If Mississippi State somehow finds a way to win at LSU, this game's going to be huge. And then, of course, Tennessee at South Carolina. South Carolina's going to be coming off a bye. They're kind of floundering. Tennessee, no one's going to be picking them to beat Alabama. But I think, hell, if Tennessee has a strong showing, maybe, you know, loses by, you know, hate to say, only by like 10 or 14 points, but hell, if they do that, what no one else has done this year, I think that they'll have a lot of momentum going into Columbia here.
Oh, for sure, man. And it's something else to consider in that game. This may be a game that decides who goes to a bowl and who doesn't. You know, South Carolina, they're not guaranteed to win out. Tennessee's not. You know, I mean, this could be a crucial game for, you know, for making a bowl game. That's huge, man.
Yeah, you're dead on, because obviously South Carolina canceling that Marshall game, that's going to play a factor now.
Yeah, that's
they've got Chattanooga, should be an easy win, so that'll be their 4th win.
Mm-hmm.
They have to win between hosting Tennessee, at Ole Miss, at Florida, at Clemson. Yeah, this Tennessee game is it's basically a must win for Will Muschamp here.
Yeah, two. And don't think the Tennessee guys, Pruitt and them, they're going to be geared up, because how awesome would that be for your new coach to make a bowl game year one after what we went through last year? So there's going to be a lot riding on that night game. And South Carolina at night, dude, I'm telling you, there's been some doozies between these two teams.
Yeah, and I think if Tennessee wins it, they're probably going to go to a bowl game for sure, because they've got, after that, Charlotte. They should win that.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have to beat Kentucky, Missouri, or Vanderbilt. Only have to beat one of those.
That's right.
The last six in this series decided by six or less, so this should be a really tight game.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, Shane, enough of week nine. Let's go around the league.
Now let's go around the league. Around the league.
We haven't decided how we're going to play the guys, so, and I wouldn't tell you if I did. So, you know, I don't mind you asking a question, but I don't need to answer it.
No, I mean, I'll be whistling Rocky Top by the end of the week. All our play. I mean, it's just like, right? I mean, just hear it over and over, and, you know, like every other or every third song, it'll roll through within the crowd noise that we play at practice. So you just you get used to it. It's a catchy tune, right? I mean,
this game's going to be a street fight. This game's going to be a street fight. I mean, some of you guys don't know who Kimbo Slice is. Hopefully you do. And you go back to it, man, this isn't a sanctioned fight. This is a street fight. I mean, this is the SEC. So, man, it's time. It's time to put on the hard hat, lunch pail. Let's get to work.
All right, Shane, starting in Tuscaloosa.
Roll Tide!
Nick Saban met with the media as usual on Monday, breaking down Tennessee. And, I thought the weirdest damn thing in this whole press conference, we're not going to play his whole thing here, but he really took issue with people. You know, it was obvious who he was talking about. He said he's taken issue with people guessing about injuries, and he wouldn't even say Tua's name, and then he wouldn't talk about Tua's status. And it took four damn beat writers. It took four questions before they got to something about Tua. So here's old Saban on he previews Tennessee, and then he reveals the status of Tua, which he said is perfectly fine. But we'll discuss that after we get these clips in.
Okay.
As I mentioned, you know, Tennessee's playing really, really well and has made a lot of improvement. I think the quarterback has been a big part of that. He played really, really well last week. He's completing like 65% of his passes, you know, for the year. Their skill guys outside have made a lot of big plays. They're big guys. They get 50-50 balls, and that's going to be a real key for us defensively. They've made constant improvement in terms of playing together as a unit, as a team, playing with a lot of toughness, a lot of discipline.
Tua's status going forward, will he be 100% this week?
Yeah, Tua hasn't missed a day of practice. He could have gone back in the game, like I said. He's going to practice today. Probably better this week than he was last week. So just, you know, see how he does in practice and continue to evaluate. And as long as the medical staff clears him, we'll keep working him to try to get him ready to play in a game.
All right, Shane, so Saban seems pretty high on Pruitt, and he says Tua is good to go. Well, thoughts on Saban's comments from Monday?
I mean, we're really shocked here. I mean, this is a guy that wouldn't even announce the starting quarterback until 2 weeks in. So, and still, he still doesn't mention it. So, I'm not shocked at all that he's keeping this close to the vest, because that's typical Saban. It's kind of like Belichick in the NFL. You just never know until you see him run out on the field. So, I don't know. This thing. I don't think we're going to get a lot off this. This may be a game time decision or something. And don't be surprised if he's out there. And I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't show up, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, I think what he was kind of addressing there is something that we discussed on the last episode, that there were people saying that Tua had a knee scoped and he would be out for a little while. But And like I said, I was not really reporting that or saying that, because it wasn't coming from anyone official. But I don't know what if he was more upfront and just, you know, if he damn opened his thing with saying Tua's fine, like, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
That kills a lot of this. Where if they would have said that last night or they issued a statement, I don't know why they got to be such a damn, you know, like the Secret Service up there. It's not really that big of a deal. Like I said, I think even if Tua plays this game, I don't think it matters. If Alabama, I mean, he'll never say it, but if they lose this game, I don't think it matters. It's as long as they win out. But if Tua doesn't play, I think they're favored by 20 instead of 28. So
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what is the deal here, but, you know, his comments on Pruitt I thought were kind of interesting. Just, I mean, he kind of said the same shit about Butch Jones last year, but I think it's a little significantly more credit when he's talking about a guy that he knows intimately.
Yeah, it's true. He says kind of the same thing. I mean, this is that stupid stuff when they're talking about how great another coach is, and mm-hmm. it's like insert team here. You know, that's kind of what these comments come across to me. But it makes me wonder when I hear Saban do stuff like this with the quarterback, and just go with me here for a second. If we don't have a quarterback controversy, or if we don't have Tua maybe hurt, quote unquote, maybe he's fine. I mean, are we talking about Alabama? I mean, just because they've been so dominant, you know, we've discussed at length how sometimes these games can get extremely boring. And, you know, if you create a little controversy, I mean, he was even begging the media to write something bad about his team. Because right now, there's no more good publicity. Alabama doesn't need any more of that. You know, it's the negative stuff that keeps them, you know, in the news. So, I don't know. It wouldn't shock me if Saban's doing this game with the media mm-hmm. just so that people are talking about him.
Yeah, you might be correct there, Shane, because obviously this guy, you know, he knows how to win like no one else. He knows how to push his players' buttons. I never thought this run would go as long as it did because – you know, for people like us that have been following college football for so damn long, it seemed like there was always great runs for 3 or 4 years mm-hmm. prior to this Saban one. If you want to go, say, Urban Meyer at, you know, Florida or Miami or USC under Pete Carroll or on and right. on and on. It just seemed like everyone had a 3 to 5 year window to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been waiting 3 to 5 years
yeah,
for this right. thing to slow down. And it's been damn 10 years. So you may be right. I think he's playing chess when everyone else is playing checkers.
Yeah, just creating a new – I mean, nobody's been in this situation. Nobody's won a whole decade of dominance, you know. So, I mean, since the old days and back then, you know, it's just newspaper clippings. You can write anything you want, you know. This is 2018, and Saban is innovating – new ways to keep Alabama relevant. Even though their teams are always performing, it's what they're doing off the field that makes them relevant. So I think it's just, like you said, I just think this is King Saban move right here.
Well, speaking of, you know, how the program is, you know, viewed in 2018, there was a clip from Saturday night. I didn't know if anything would really come of it, but Alabama defensive lineman Raekwon Davis, he's... You know, I don't think he's been their best lineman this year, but he is their most talented one, the guy that everyone is projecting to be a top NFL draft pick. I think he's like 6'7", 320 pounds, and I don't know if he's got a damn ounce of fat on him. He's a beast in the middle there, but he was caught by ESPN replays punching an offensive lineman who was on the ground just repeatedly. And he got flagged. Geez. He got flagged for a 15-yard penalty, but he didn't get tossed. And Saban said, you know, that he had to speak to the SEC commissioner, Greg Sankey, about this play. And he said Davis could face, he's very vague about everything, but he basically said he could basically sit Davis as punishment. What are your thoughts on that, Shane?
Well, it looks like he won't be playing in the Citadel game, Mike. Oh, jeez. I don't know. I mean, if you're physically assaulting somebody, I don't know if maybe internally is how we should be handling this. This is on national TV, so I don't know. But again, maybe Saban thinks that he doesn't need him and he sits him out next week. I don't know. It doesn't hurt because Tennessee's down their leading tackler. I think Daniel, mm-hmm. Because he got flagged for that leading or at targeting role,
right.
I think he misses the first two quarters, right?
He does, yeah.
Yeah, so – stupid rule. But anyway, yeah, I'm kind of curious. I mean, this is one of those things that usually he sweeps under the rug, but I am kind of curious because this was on TV. Everybody saw it. So I'm kind of curious what he does with it.
All right, Shane, let's jump to the other side of this game. Go to Knoxville. Jeremy Pruitt met with the media on Monday. And, you know, obviously this is a huge game for him and his program, and just all the years he spent in Alabama. He played for Alabama. He knows, you know, we kind of hit on the fact that he knows Auburn real well, but of course it's nothing compared to what he knows about Alabama. And this just kind of what this rivalry means to him and the state of Tennessee. I thought he did a good job discussing that. So here's his comments on the Alabama series and just, you know, trying to get that thing to kind of even back, or at least, you know, ultimately he obviously wants it in Tennessee's favor, but he's got to get it back to, you know, even footing before he can even do that.
Yeah.
When you talk about Alabama, first of all, you talk about the rivalry. You know, this game means a whole lot to a whole lot of people. Very important game, not only because it's the next one, but the tradition that comes with this game. And I think we got to do our part to create this rivalry again. It's not been much of a rivalry the last few years, so we've got to uphold our end of it.
All right, Shane, so from an Alabama guy talking about the Tennessee-Alabama rivalry like that, what were your main takeaways there?
Well, you know, he grew up down there, and, you know, he's a huge Alabama fan his whole life. So he knows how important the third Saturday in October is. And the thing is, he's not a young kid. He was there when Alabama was down. He's been there when Alabama was up. And say what you want, this rivalry has been watered down of just a decade of dominance, but this used to be the game. And some of these old timers, man, they remember, you know, when you ask them who's the biggest rivals, you hear a lot of people talk about Tennessee and Florida. No, dude, Tennessee and Alabama was the ultimate rival back in the day. And Pruitt wants to make it relevant again.
Yeah. Now, of course, if he doesn't, he'll be the, you know, driving force of it. He's obviously recruited a lot of guys here in Alabama. He's bringing coaches from Alabama, not just that have coached with him there, but high school. I don't know how if people follow, you know, his support staff and his administration staff, but I mean, he's basically plucked people from high schools and departments all across Alabama. So this series is going to mean a lot to his program for years to come. And, you know, obviously I could tell that Auburn win meant a lot to him. I think that was his Auburn blood in him, but his Alabama blood in him. But it'll be really interesting for me to see how he handles this game and this week and just the aftermath of it. And I don't know. I think this is one of the most fascinating aspects of this week for me.
Yeah, man. I mean, nobody understands Alabama like Kirby and Pruitt here. You know, that this is just something he was living and breathing for several years. So he knows everything, how they just prepare for kickoff, you know, and it's just – I'm not saying that's going to be a huge advantage that shows up on Saturday, but I mean, there's no element of surprise either, you know?
All right, Shane. And so not only Pruitt did he have those comments about the Alabama game, but of course, Philip Fulmer, his boss and the AD there at Tennessee, has got a long standing tradition here against Alabama. He was caught after the Auburn win in the locker room. I don't know if you saw that, Shane, but he led a chant. It was about, you know, we don't give a damn about the whole state of Alabama.
Yeah.
And Fulmer was on Feinbaum on Monday. So I just want to play these quick clips. He was asked about that little chant, and he was asked about this upcoming game and the job Jeremy Pruitt's doing there in Knoxville.
And I understand Coach Pruitt gave you the opportunity to say a few words and lead the team in a chant or two.
That was fun. Yep.
Let's talk about where this program is now, because a win like that on the road, Coach, and you know better than anyone what it does to not only the football program, but to the fans and to the entire Tennessee family. Describe the impact and where do you go from here?
Well, Paul, as they say in your business, we're trending upward, certainly. that's a good thing, but you know, the truth of it is, you know, we're not as bad as we played against Florida, certainly, and we're probably not as good as it might have seemed coming out of Auburn. We're somewhere in between. We're a team that's getting better. The kids have certainly bought in to Jeremy and what we're trying to do. We're getting great effort. You know, we're, you know, kind of hit and miss, you know, sometime with our execution and things, but we're playing really hard, and that's a positive, and obviously a lot of challenges ahead, but you know, a brighter look at the challenges ahead.
Well, let's talk about this weekend, and I don't think the two of us need an education on what that third Saturday in October meant. I know you as a student and player, same for almost anyone who ever went to school there, this was that defining weekend that you look forward to months out. What does this weekend mean, especially coming off of a significant road victory?
Well, you know exactly what it means to the Tennessee fan base and the Alabama fan base, or at least what it used to be. And it's one of the greatest rivalries in college football. We really haven't held up our end of the rivalry, you know, recently. And you can't argue with what Coach Saban and that staff have done, you know, for the last number of years. I mean, it's the model, you know, football program in the country right now. But you know, they still put 11 on the field the same time that we do, and we need to go play at our very best and see what happens.
All right, Shane, so Fulmer's adding a little bit to this rivalry here. I think he's just like kind of the old guard, man. While a lot of the younger generation look at Florida as the biggest rival, most of the older generation, including Fulmer, they see Alabama as the main rival of Tennessee. Thoughts on his comments here on the job Jeremy Pruitt's doing and the game ahead here against the Crimson Tide?
Golly, Mark, we're trying to make this a trap game, and everybody's pumping it up all of a sudden. this is great, man. This is what Coach Fulmer, I mean, this was a big rivalry for him for several years at Tennessee. And, you know, it's just kind of funny. Then that locker room, you got Pruitt and Fulmer, and they both were on both sides of this rivalry for a long time. And now they got one goal, and that's to beat Alabama. Now, I mean, that's a tall glass of water, man, but I like that him and the coach are on the – it feels like they're starting to get on the same page.
Right, and I mean, you say trap game, but I think that's basically the mentality that Tennessee is trying to get rid of. They don't want these games against Alabama and Georgia and Auburn. They don't want it to be trap games. They want it to be games where the fan base thinks going in that they have a chance and that they will win. So I know they're a long way from that, but I think they take another step on Saturday if they can compete at home against Alabama.
Yeah, and that's what Pruitt hit hard on. You know, this is a top-tier program, but, again, not necessarily a top-tier team at the moment, but it can be. And he's getting the most out of the talent that he has, and that's what you got to be impressed with if you're a Tennessee fan.
Well, speaking of being impressed, Shane, let's jump to Auburn.
Oh, my God, we're burning alive! Fire!
Damn hot, real hot. Hotter than this is my shorts. I can cook things in it. Little crotch clot cooking.
Well, can you tell me what it feels like?
Fool, what is hot? I told you again. Were you born on the sun? It's damn hot.
Just kidding. No one's impressed with that team except for the athletic director, Alan Green. He was asked about Gus Malzahn and his status with the team. He was at some kind of function on Monday. So we're going to play some clips here from Mr. Green here. And just he was asked right away. He makes a joke about it. He wasn't even said hello to. He was asked about Gus Malzahn's status. So here's his comments here.
Okay. Let's cut right to the chase and talk about Gus Malzahn.
Sure.
Do you support your football
coach? No, good morning.
No.
Just want to get right into it.
We're going to go right into it.
Sure.
And, that's a hot topic. And just your thoughts on Gus and where he stands, where you stand.
Yeah, you know, I recognize that football and Auburn football and the standing of a coach is a hot topic, considering we're not really where we want to be and not where we expect to be. But, you know, as I've shared with the coach, my responsibility is to support him and his team, and we'll continue doing so. We'll continue working to get better.
Alan, have there been any conversations with him about job performance, about him and the staff?
I don't think that you ever should have to have a conversation about a coach about job performance. They know exactly what's expected of them. And, again, it's just about making sure that we're doing the best that we can to put our student-athletes in the best possible position to be successful.
Obviously, as an AD, you have a standard that you want your coaches to perform up to. How is Gus measured up to that standard?
Yeah, well, I shouldn't have to be the one to answer that, right? I think, you know, every one of us who is a former athlete or a coach expects more than anyone else expects of us. And so when you don't have the outcomes that you desire, then that's a frustrating thing. But he's committed to working through it. I'm committed to being there with him. And we'll continue the grind.
All right, Shane, so what's your main takeaway there? I mean, Green, seemed like he was very guarded there. He didn't want to obviously put too much pressure on Gus Malzahn, but you know, this is obviously a topic that's not going to go away until Auburn starts winning some games.
Yeah, it's kind of like Green got I mean, he knew these questions were going to come. I mean, he's no dummy. He knew that people were going to start – once Gus went down this road, once he dropped two in a row here, you knew these questions. So he knew the answers that he wanted to say. He just didn't know how they were going to come out. I just thought it was funny that they didn't even tell him good morning or anything. They're just like, so when can we fire Gus?
And keep in mind, Shane, this is not the guy that – negotiated this deal, the previous AD, for whatever the hell reason, this should have been the first sign of damn danger, but former AD gets Malzahn to agree to this deal, then like a month later he's out, I think it was. So
oh man, this so guy got caught holding the bag, huh?
I mean, he's got no loyalty to Gus Malzahn necessarily, but clearly didn't throw him under the bus here when I wouldn't imagine that he would, but he didn't do anything like of that nature. But like you said, it might be his biggest task to work his way out of that contract in the near future.
Well, yeah. That is a tough road to get into. You just get this job, and then Gus is screwing everything up. And I could just see it, man. In his bedroom on the closet door is the picture of Gus, and he's throwing darts at it at night. Like, what the did I get into? He's looking over that contract, seeing how he can get out of it. So I don't know, man. What can he do? The thing is, Auburn can always bounce back, and we've seen it with Gus. I've seen it. You know, one year he looks like, oh God, I can't believe he's still a coach, and then the next year he's competing for a national championship. So there's a lot of ups and downs with his system and his history, and who knows, man? If he comes back and fires off, and they at least get somewhat competitive the rest of the season, maybe, you know, maybe this isn't as big of a discussion in the off season. But as of right now, man, you talk about hot seat. Gus's seat is burning, brother.
Yeah, and let's jump to the other side of this game. Obviously, they're playing Ole Miss this week in Oxford. But unfortunate news for the Rebels. DK Metcalf, the team's second leading receiver, he's out for the season. Matt Luke announced that on Monday. He's apparently had an issue with his neck, and it's going to require surgery. They don't expect it. You know, it's nothing like spinal, so like his career is in no means by jeopardy, but I think They're just being cautious here. This guy's got an incredibly bright future. They don't want to mess with it. But thoughts on Ole Miss losing one of their nasty wideouts here?
Yeah, that was a huge one because, I mean, he was, like you said, he was just one of many, but He was probably their most, I don't know, it just seems like he was the one I always saw catching the ball. Right. And it's, I mean, hell of hands and you know, kind of Jordan's safety blanket. So it kind of makes me curious how this offense looks after that, you know, losing a huge weapon like that. Maybe there's a few little more check downs with the running backs and things like that. But I think they'll be fine. At least they're not thin at that position, unlike, you know, other positions on that team. So, but, you know, any injury like that is, you know, and I hope everything's all right because they didn't really come out with the details, but they said it was his neck and then it was more serious than expected. Did they ever come out and really say what happened there? Or?
I think he said it was a disc in his neck.
Okay.
That will likely, they expect will require surgery. So obviously anything with the neck, you don't want to mess around with. And like I said, they expect him to be fine moving forward after this. But, you know, hopefully he comes back next year with a huge year.
Yeah, for sure, man.
So obviously Ole Miss won the big game at Arkansas, if you want to call it that, in Little Rock, neutral field basically. And Matt Luke was asked about the momentum the Rebels can have after that win. And if you think about it, you know, they're one of the quietest 5-2s in the nation. They get Auburn here. If they can manage to beat Auburn, which it should be a close game, then they get a bye week. They could set up for a real nice season here. So here's Luke on just what he thinks could be in store for his team.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, even given the records, I just thought it was a gutsy win. You just see, you know, Jalen Julius, you know, shoulders, you know, popping out. He's getting back up and he's playing and, you know, see Armani and Tylen and the guys just battling and competing and, you know, DK not being out there and Dawson and all the guys stepping up and making plays, and it's in the rain and you're on the road and you're down 17, and they just kept fighting and they kept competing. So just a proud, gutsy win that will give us some momentum going forward. And then now you're coming home at 5-2 and get some momentum, and the crowd fired up about coming and playing another big game in Oxford. I think that's what you're most proud of, is you get the momentum going forward. And these kids, when they lay it all on the line, they get something back. They get to be happy and they get to enjoy it together.
All right, Shane, so are you buying what Matt Luke is selling here? I mean, I know you've been kind of low on this guy. Maybe he's not the real answer, but hell, if the Rebels are 6-2 dealing with all kinds of sanctions and not going to a bowl game, I think it's time to start buying some Matt Luke stock.
Here's the deal, man. If Matt Luke has watched film, he's watched Auburn's last two games. Mm-hmm. And so, 2 weeks ago, you got Fitz running for, 200 yards? And then last week, Jordan did the same thing against Arkansas. And then last week, Tennessee's just airing it out. They're catching all these passes, and he's like, damn, I've got better receivers. So, I mean, he's watched 2 weeks of Auburn struggling against the two things that his team's really good at. So, yeah, maybe we do buy into Luke, because this week looks pretty grim if you're an Auburn fan, because, like I said, this offense just matches well compared to what we've seen.
Yeah, and what we saw kind of, I think, with that Tennessee offense, the receivers were making hell of a plays against Auburn's defensive backs, and Ole Miss receivers should be able to do similar things. Te'amu loves to throw up those jump balls because his receivers come down with it far more than the defensive backs. Mm-hmm. If Ole Miss can hit some of those same passes, they're going to have a ton of success here against Auburn, I would think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Shane, staying in the state of Mississippi, let's go to Starkville, where I just thought this was an interesting nugget. We'll jump into Joe Moorhead's comments, but before we do that, the offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, he was named as someone to watch for the Bowling Green job. For anyone that didn't see it, Bowling Green's already fired their head coach. That's the first program to fire their head coach this year. But what are your thoughts on a guy that, this is his first year as a college offensive coordinator, and, I don't think anyone in Starkville is very impressed with the offense, and he's not even calling the plays. What do you make of this rumor here?
Well, that you just hit the nail on the head. When I first saw that, I was like, is he even calling the plays? Because I thought it was just right when the week started that Moorhead was the one that was calling these things. So I don't know. I'm kind of surprised, if that's the case. But I don't know. Is that a huge loss if Joe's doing all the work anyway? I don't know.
Yeah, I would kind of think not. But, guess he's a very young guy. He's an up-and-coming guy. He spent several years there with the Green Bay Packers working with receivers, I believe it was. So, he's got a ton of, good experience, but I don't know about this one. But and where Mississippi State would turn, I don't know if it would be a huge loss for them, because, as you noted, Joe Moorhead's calling all the plays down there. And that is something that Moorhead talked about on Monday. I think heading into this matchup, they're going to LSU. This is, I think, going to be the best game in the SEC this weekend. But it's going to be Joe Moorhead calling plays on offense, of course, going against LSU's outstanding defensive coordinator, Dave Aranda, who's calls the plays. So here's Moorhead just on that chess match, and also on, I thought it was kind of comical, his comments on playing in Death Valley for the first time. He's really looking forward to it.
You've never gone up against Dave Aranda, have you?
I've gone up against his style of defense. He left Wisconsin the year before we played them in the Big Ten championship game. I don't think they changed scheme very much, but I guess to answer your question, no, I've not called plays against him.
Yeah, what about his scheme stands out and makes him different? Because he's proven that he doesn't depend on players. He's got a good scheme to back it up.
No, I think a thing that a lot of top-notch defensive coordinators across the country, like Dave Aranda, in their schemes is they understand how an offense is attempting to attack them and why, and works to take those things away, but at the same time combines that with a bunch of aggressiveness where they're attempting to force the hand of the offense. So they know, based on what they run, how people are going to attack them, and have a bunch of good counter punches of, if they're going to do this, this is what we go to. So I'd say it's a combination of aggressiveness, scheme, and in-game adjustments that he does a really, really nice job of.
All right, Shane, so what do you think about this matchup here, Joe Moorhead against Dave Aranda? I think that this is one of the more, you know, I said this should be one of the most entertaining games. I think this will be one of the most entertaining coaching matchups here the weekend as well.
Yeah, no, I think this will be a very – it just seems like every week we're talking about LSU and another great team. You know, it's just like this – this may be one of the better defenses that they faced. You know, it's a very similar to kind of Florida. And I don't know. I just – like we you talked about earlier, I don't know. They've been involved in so many physical games. It's like, does this team ever break? And they probably should have won that Florida game. They probably should be undefeated right now. Mm-hmm. Do they relax now that they got past the number two team in the nation? Is there a little letdown when Mississippi State comes in? A team that's had multiple weeks to think about this thing. There's just so many questions going on with this game, and I'm just curious how it's all going to play out, brother.
Yeah, because I don't think enough credit was given to Joe Moorhead for adjusting to how to face that Auburn. You know, of course, we look at Auburn now, like you said. That doesn't look like as good of a win, but heading into that one, Auburn had they still have a hell of a defense. That's not their problem, but no one in their right mind would have guessed that Mississippi State would rush for 350 yards on these guys, and they basically did it with three plays. I mean, and they just altered the hell out of it, and they just, you know, so give Joe Moorhead a lot of credit. He saw something in Kevin Steele's defense that no one has seen yet, and Kevin Steele's been in the damn SEC for 20 years. So what will he see in Dave Aranda's defense? He's had 2 weeks to prepare. I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen in this one, but I'm expecting a close one in it. And part of the reason why is just the chess match between these two.
Oh, yeah, man. It's going to be a fun one.
Okay, Shane, now jumping to LSU here. They were fined $100,000 for rushing the field against Ole Miss. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, we talked about this after it happened to Kentucky, and I don't feel as bad for LSU as I did when it happened to Kentucky. Does that make sense? like Kentucky was, I mean, don't get me wrong, huge win for LSU, but this thing was ran away with for a long time, and the score wasn't even close there at the end, and then these guys trickling down. It wasn't like we just won on the last second, so I'm like, I don't know. If we're going to pay $100,000, we might as well get our money's worth and do it in a good game, you know?
Well, LSU, I think, definitely got their money worth.
It was worth it, man. They pay $100,000 every week to win like that, man.
Yeah, because that was just so huge for that program. But so obviously Ed Orgeron, he also met with the media on Monday. This guy, he's just so entertaining. He had a lot of things to talk about. He didn't really get into Mississippi State. I was hoping he said something kind of juicy there. He got his ass kicked by Mississippi State last year. He didn't go a ton into that, but he did talk about just basically how Kirby Smart noted that they got whipped physically in this game. And I think that's what Ed Orgeron is going for. That's what he, you know, prides his program on. So here's Ed Orgeron just talking about, you know, the physicality that's needed to play for LSU.
I attribute that to the way we practice. Number two, the way we practice. Number one, the way we recruit. I think if you come to LSU, you coach at LSU, physicality is a part of your DNA. And that's always been LSU football. And some people like that, some people don't. The people that don't come here. And we practice physical. We go one-on-ones on Tuesday. We have competition Tuesday. We have 9-on-7, so the guys like it. They like that being a part of the game. And that's a big compliment coming from them because they're very physical.
So what do you think of your boy Coach O, Shane? I mean, he's as Cajun as they come when he starts talking like this, he takes it to a whole nother damn level.
I love it, man. It's like, I always call it ABR, always be recruiting. And that's what he does. Every time he talks, it's like, hey, if you're soft, we don't want you down here. We only want the tough ones, you know. So it's just, I love the mentality Coach O has. And, I mean, it's hard not to buy into him. I know there's a lot of Georgia fans that probably hate his freaking guts right now. But the fact of the matter is he got that team jailed and he got them where they're at right now. And you hear it with the players. Mm-hmm. Now you're hearing it with the fans, and it's showing on the field. So, yeah, kudos to Coach O. And And they don't have no soft players down in LSU right now, brother.
No, and I think the toughest one they may have on offense is Joe Burrow. And that's something he met with the media as well. And, you know, this is something that I don't think gets talked about enough. You know, no one in the SEC really knew anything about Joe Burrow. But the reverse was true, to where, you know, this is all new for Joe Burrow. He's, you know, obviously you hear about the SEC, you hear about this great schedule, but until you live it, until you've been through it, you don't know. And I thought that was really interesting. That was basically the most interesting thing he had to say of all the interesting things he said. So here's just Joe Burrow on taking in that Georgia win, but then he's got to move immediately on to Mississippi State.
You know, I don't know if you really treat this week any different than any other week. You know, it's hard after a big win. You kind of want to take a deep breath, but you can't because you're in the SEC and you can't play any cupcakes. They're a ranked team that's one of the top 10 defenses in the country, and we're going to have a tough task ahead of us.
So what do you think of this former Big Ten quarterback, Shane, talking about the grind that is the SEC?
Dude, I mean, it is a grind. This team, I mean, you start all the way from week one with Miami. Auburn was a big game at the time. Then you have the Gators. Then you have the Georgia Bulldogs. I mean, it's just like the lights never turn off in LSU. And it does kind of make me curious as far as them going forward because, you know, we know that they got Mississippi State coming in. I think they're going to be okay there. I think they're prepared. Like I said, they've just been playing these top-tier teams for so long. I hate to jump forward, but, man, that Alabama-LSU game, woo doggy. Alabama ain't had a game like LSU's played this year. So, I don't know, man. I think this is all game prep, brother.
And I'll take it a step further, Shane. I'm going to look even further ahead. Now, I know no one's going to be picking this, and you and I both have been very high on LSU all year. So we will probably be picking this, but if LSU finds a way to beat Alabama, look at that game at the last game of the season, the way Texas A&M is playing, there's a damn good chance A&M does not lose another game. What if they go into that game, they'd be 9-2, and LSU would be 10-1 in College Station? I mean, like you said, it never damn ends here for LSU. That would be a damn hellacious game, and that's not even taken into consideration how LSU badly wanted Jimbo Fisher, and they tried to steal A&M tried to steal Dave Aranda in the offseason. There's a ton of bad blood between A&M and LSU now.
The schedule just keeps getting tougher, brother. The more we look at it. And next thing you know, they're going to be playing Georgia again in the SEC championship. Or Florida or Kentucky, not ruling you out just yet. I'm just saying, if we're talking about just painting a picture right here, who better than having Kirby come? Or no, you know what? What about Florida? Shit, I mean, LSU and Florida beat them last time. I mean, either way, this, like you said, the schedule, other than Rice, which is in Arkansas that got worked in there, LSU, man, has played some damn tough teams. They got them at their best.
Well, speaking of Kentucky, Shane, let's jump to Lexington, where Mark Stoops met with the media. And, again, he didn't have anything, you know, too revealing to say, but I thought this one comment was very interesting because, you know, for all the credit we give Kentucky, and they deserve all of it, they're having an outstanding season. Still, they're still getting disrespected. Now that they lost to A&M, a lot of people that – we're just casually watching them. I think they assume they'll just go under, which is not going to happen. But here's something that Mark Stoops and his team have not ever had to deal with, and that's being expected to roll an SEC team. So just here's kind of Mark Stoops on just, you know, his team is the hunted now. So playing Vanderbilt this week at home and just what the Commodores will be bringing to Kentucky.
Well, Vandy is a team that is very well coached. You know, I really have a lot of respect for Derek and what he does and how he coaches. And you see the team that's very hungry, that plays very hard and well coached. And, you know, they're just looking for that breakthrough. I mean, they really had a great opportunity to beat Notre Dame. And then, you know, they have a great opportunity against Florida and two very, very good football teams. And so you see what they're capable of. And so Vandy's a good team, and they're hungry. They play hard. And we're going to have to play very good football. And that's, you know that's my message every week. It's about us and what we do and how we prepare and how we respect the game and our preparation, no matter who we're playing. And it starts today with having a very good Monday.
All right, Shane, so how do you think Kentucky will handle this, being a huge favorite here in an SEC game?
I don't think there's a team in this conference that needs or wants a victory as bad as Kentucky right now. You know, I think they felt like they dropped one there at Texas A&M. They've had a couple weeks to think about it. And I think they're ready to come out with a signature win and get them back on the map. Mm-hmm. So I still think they're playing the underdog card. Even though they're going against Vanderbilt, I think, you know, Coach Stoops is just saying, hey, man, they done forgot about us. We're not relevant anymore. That's what they're saying to us. There's no way we're going to win the East. There's no way we compete in the national or in the SEC championship. So I think he's still playing that card. I mean, I would, because it's worked this long. I mean, they are 5-1, second in the SEC East. And why not roll with it and come out and just, I mean, you talk about a street fight, I think Kentucky's going to come out and be physical. And this may be the most physical game you've seen all year right here.
Yeah, and as we look at it, you know, I don't think enough people are acknowledging this, but if you want to look at the SEC standings right now, Kentucky is right there tied for first now that Georgia went down. And they hold the tiebreaker over Florida. So if Florida wins in Jacksonville, Kentucky's, I mean, they obviously would have to beat Georgia and Tennessee, but they are well on their way to winning the East right now. So they just got to keep this thing rolling.
Yeah.
Okay, Shane, last team we wanted to hit on here, Arkansas has jumped to Fayetteville, where Chad Morris met with the media on Monday, and, God, they just can't catch a break. And not only that, it seems like half their damn team's injured. And so here's Chad Morris on just the injuries facing his team and, you know, the status of Ty Story moving forward.
Coach, I was hoping you could update the guys who were injured, Story, the running backs, and Sosa, everybody.
Yeah, with us being on fall break right now, so we're a little off schedule as far as knowing exactly where we are with everything. Devwa Whaley is out. He's having surgery today on his ankle. We hope to get him back sometime in November. We anticipate Rakeem being back and playing. Ty, we'll know more today on Ty. Sosa, we anticipate Sosa being back. TJ Hammonds, we anticipate TJ being back. So that's kind of where we're at.
All right, Shane, your $100 on Arkansas is not going to look too good if old Ty Story can't go. Are you concerned at all that Chad Morris is not willing to commit to their only quarterback that's shown any kind of life is, you know, may not be ready to play in this one?
Without a doubt, man. I mean, what was it, 4 picks, 6 picks, something like that he had the last time he came out? The backup, what's his name?
Cole Kelly.
Cole Kelly, yeah.
And then he also threw one, obviously, last week that sealed the loss. So, I mean, feel bad for the guy, but he just doesn't have it. You know, he's scarred this year.
Like Nate Peterman in the NFL. He was doing so bad that quarterback got hurt. He comes in there, throws a pick, and loses the game. So it's just like, damn. That would change everything, man. In fact, the more I think about it, the more I'm scared to even touch this game. Arkansas is 1-6 for a reason, and a lot of it's to do with not being able to close out. So who knows? I mean, Tulsa's – don't let their 1-5 record scare you, because I saw that first thing I looked at was the box scores, and I'm like, man, there's no way Arkansas is going to let this thing be close. But, man, they played some good teams, and they played them up to the wire, it looks like. So they're going to have their hands full, and if they don't have their starting quarterback, geez. Like you said, or the running back. He thinks what's his name is going to be back, but he's not 100% sure. He didn't sound positive.
Right, and Devwa Bailey's obviously going to be out for a couple weeks, so they're down one runner. They're Rakeem Boyd, he's had a breakout year, but he just like on Last Chance U, man, he's banged up every other week, so it's not looking good for the Razorbacks. Mm-mm. All right, Shane, last thing we wanted to hit on real quick here. We got a mailbag question.
What?
Listen up, it's time for mail call.
Don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
My
turn. What do you got?
Okay, here we go. What color is a fire truck?
Oh, God, I always get these. Okay, all right, fire truck. Fire truck. What are those red fire trucks?
And getting into this one, this comes from Poderus here on Reddit. But, you know, he complimented us on our show. Good show as always, folks. I got a question for you. Is there any team in college football that can beat Alabama? And if so, how? What do you think, Shane? Do you think anyone can take down Alabama?
Absolutely. I do. And unfortunately, I'd love to say this week, Mike. I really would. But I think that Alabama-LSU game, man, is very interesting. And it really – I mean, this Tua thing makes it even more interesting. Mm-hmm. If Tua is banged up and this thing keeps lingering and they keep rolling them out there, then when they get into a game like LSU, it makes you wonder. That's the first one. That's the obvious one that stands out in my mind. What about you?
Well, I agree with everything you just said, and I was going to say no too, but I will. Let's say with this caveat, if Tua is healthy, I think he is such a player where, I don't know, I think he's got things that people that don't follow the game don't understand, and it's intangibles of reading a defense, and not only reading a defense, but anticipating where defenders are going to be, and he's not just like some kind of mind reader. He studies the film and he's just got that intuition, but we saw that in the Georgia against the national championship game. We've seen it this year. If Tua is playing, 100%, I don't think this team is beatable because there's no defense for what he does. You know what I mean? He puts it exactly where it's got to be and no one's touching him. They can't get him because they got a hell of an offensive line and they have one of the best receiving corps in the nation who, there may be guys like Ole Miss receivers might be a little bit better or maybe a team or two out there, but these receivers are running such crisp routes. It just complements him so well. So if he's 100%, I don't think they can be beaten, but he's obviously not 100%. And I really hate to say any college team is unbeatable because that's the beauty of college football in my mind. There's weeks where teams don't show up for whatever reason. These are young athletes who they're not professionals yet, although they do have a schedule kind of like a professionals here. But, if they have a bad game, if they have a turnover here or there, what it's going to take is the opponent to have zero turnovers, play outstanding on special teams, and just kind of, force some turnovers, get lucky. Here's what I would do. I don't know. This might sound crazy, but if I was a team like Tennessee, I think I would go for every fourth down as long as it was like within 6 yards. I legitimately would. I'd go for it every damn time as long as you're not – I'd say once you're past like your own 35.
Right.
Because what the hell's the difference? You give Tua 70 yards to beat you or 40, he's still going to do it. So I would go for it every damn time on fourth down within reason. And I think I'd kick an onside every time, even if they saw it coming, because – I think you've just got to do stuff to just limit their possession. So that would be my key. If you're a team that can't match up with Alabama, I think you got to do everything in your power to not give that guy the ball. And I think that's a way to get them to beat them.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And when I said can beat, I'm not saying that they will beat. I'm just saying, does a team on their schedule have the potential to beat Alabama? And like you said, it's definitely going to require a perfect game. And another interesting team on that schedule is, and even though I've made fun of them in the past, is Mississippi State. And the thing that I like about Mississippi State is they got a mobile quarterback. Mm-hmm. They got a defense that can shut the run down. Those are two of the things that Alabama's had the toughest time with. They've had a little bit of trouble, not this last couple of weeks, but if they can sell out the run and make Tua, or God forbid, Hurts, if Tua is out, rely on his arm. That's what Auburn did last year. I think Stenham had 50 yards rushing, and Johnson had a ton of yards rushing, and they were able to stop the run. I think the leading rusher was the Hurts, the quarterback. So that's the only way I can see, the only two possibilities there of Alabama losing. But again, we're talking, got to be a perfect game. Turnovers have got to be in the favor of the opposing team, and I don't know, man. If Alabama gets against the wall, what kind of team comes out? Because they really haven't had to flex. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and that's something we talked about with Mississippi State when they were undefeated. They were just beating the hell out of everybody. What would happen to them when they got into a tight game in the fourth quarter? It happened against Kentucky for the first time. They got exposed. It happened against Georgia here in LSU. They got exposed because they were just not used to it. Alabama, they don't – hell, they don't play two in the fourth quarter. They don't know what it's like to be in a fourth quarter game right now. And, and they can be hyped up. They can be built up. They are number one for a reason, but they do not know how to handle that right now. That's not saying they'll fail the test if it comes, say, at Baton Rouge. But if it does, they do not know how to handle it at this point. So that's another good point, Shane. If it comes down to crunch time, will they blink?
Yeah, and Tennessee, we joke about Tennessee, but what Alabama needs from Tennessee is a close game, is a battle, like you said, to maybe the late third, fourth quarter, something like that. Maybe not like within a touchdown or something like that, but keeping them in the ball game all – ball game and making it physical. That's what Alabama needs because they haven't had it yet.
Yeah, and I think that'll do it for us, Shane. This is going to be a long one, but thanks everyone for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Thank you, Shane, as always, for joining me. If you made it this far, if you wouldn't mind just going a step further, going to iTunes and giving us a rating and review, that really helps us out.
Yeah, buddy. Go Vols.
Was that would seem kind of jerky. Should I try that again?
Yeah, that one was a little...
Well, fuck you, shit. No, just kidding.
I go round the league, man.
All right, Shane, enough about week nine. Let's jump... Fuck. Now I'm fucking up here. All right, Shane, that's enough of week nine stuff. Let's jump into news around the league. I can edit that. I'll edit out that pause. Yeah. Pauses are easy to edit out.
Yeah.